Welcome to Zichu Daf Simanim. I'm Rabbi Avram Goldreich, and today we're Maseches Yevamos, Daf Ayin Zayin, the eighth parak ha'aroch. Before I begin, I want to make a very important public service announcement for all of our members who receive our materials via WhatsApp. Our number has changed. It's very important to save our new number in your contacts to continue to receive the materials. Our new number is 973-370-4061. Again, it's 973-370-4061, or in Zichu language, it's 973-LASER-TAG-370-370-POOL-SAW-4061. Anyway, I apologize for the inconvenience, but please make sure to change the number promptly so you can continue to receive all the materials in a timely fashion. So the three topics I'm going to focus on. Number one, continuing with the account of Dog's challenges to David's Yichus, the Gemara reconciles contradictory psukim, where in one pasuk, Amasa, who was married to David's sister, is referred to as the son of Yisra HaYisraeli, and in another pasuk, his father is referred to as Yeser HaYishmaeli. Rav explained that when Doeg wanted to disqualify David, Shechiger Charbuk Yishma, that Yeser girded his sword like Yishmaeli, and said, Kol mi she'eino shomei halacha zo yidak becherub. Whoever does not accept the halacha shall be impaled by the sword. For I have received a tradition from the Beis and the Shmuel that the Torah prohibits Amoni below Amonis, Moavi below Moavis, and therefore David is permitted to marry into the Kahal. The Gemara questions whether one is believed when one quotes a halacha in such a situation, for Rabbi Abba said, in the name of Rab, Kol Talmud Chacham Shemor Halacha Uba, any Talmud Chacham who teaches halacha that was unknown to others, in Kodem Maisa Amara Shomin Lo, Vim Lav Ein Shomin Lo. If he had related it prior to an actual case, we listen to him, but if not, we do not listen to him. The Gemara answers that it's different here since Shmuel and his basin were still around. Rashi explains that since his statement could be verified, he would not speak falsely. Pointing to Rava expanded, what's the meaning of that which is written? Bitachtu l'moseira, you have released my yoke straps. David said to Kodesh Baruch Ribon Shalom, Shnei Moser Shayu Lalai, Pitachtem, the two straps were upon me, you have released. Rus ha-Moaviah and Nama ha-Amonis. Nama was the wife of David's son Shlomo and the mother of his grandson Rehovam. Therefore, there were two yoke straps who were potentially harmful to the yichus of David's malchus, Rus from Moab and Naama from Ammon. Now that the halakh has been resolved permitting female converts from these nations to marry into the Kahal, Hashem released David from these yoke straps. Point number three, Ula said in Nebar Yochanan, Basger Ammoni Kesher Kahuna, the daughter of a male Ammoni Ger is fit for the Kahuna. The Gemara clarifies that the case is the daughter of a male Ammoni Ger who illegally married the Israelis. Reish Lakish disagrees with Rabbi Yochanan and says she is Pesula, unfit to marry a Kohen. The Gemara explains that Reish Lakish holds that she's unfit, for he learns it from the case of a daughter from a Kohen Gadol and an Almana. Thus she explains that just as the daughter conceived through the improper relations is a Chalala and is unfit for the Kohuna, so too the daughter conceived from the improper relations of the Ammoni Ger to the Israelis is unfit for the Kohuna. Rabbi Yochanan's position is learned from his response to Rabbi Zakkai, who taught that only a daughter of converts from the same nation is permitted to marry Kohen Gadol. Rabbi Yochanan responded that he learned the following brisa regarding the pasuk ki basu ma'amav yikach isha, only a basua of his nation shall he, referring to the Kohen Gadol, take as a wife. The Torah doesn't state amav, his nation, but me'amav, from his nation, implying partially from his nation, lahavi basua haba mishnei amamim, to include a basua that comes from two nations. The Gemara proves that according to Rabbi Yochanan, the pasuk is referring to a basua who is the daughter of a male Ammoni ger, who married a Yisraelis and is teaching that she is fit for the Kohuna. So once again, the 3 points are, number one, continue with the account of Doeg's challenges to David's Yichus. The Gemara reconciles contradictory psukim, where one pasuk Amasa, who was married to David's sister, is referred to as the son of Yisro HaYisraeli, and in another pasuk was referred to as Yeser HaYishmaeli. Rav explained that when Doeg wanted to disqualify David, Shechiger Charbuk Yishma, that Yeser girded his sword like Yishmaeli, and said, Kol mi she'eino shomei halacha zo yidak becherub. Whoever does not accept the halacha shall be impaled by the sword. For I have received a tradition from the Beis and the Shmuel that the Torah prohibits Ammoni below Ammonis, Moavi below Moavis, and therefore David is permitted to marry into the Kahal. The Gemara questions whether one is believed when one quotes a halacha in such a situation, for Rabbi Abba said, in the name of Rab, Kol Talmud Chacham Shemor Halacha Uba, any Talmud Chacham who teaches halacha that was unknown to others, in Kodem Maisa Amara Shomin Lo, Vim Lav Ein Shomin Lo. If he had related it prior to an actual case, we listen to him, but if not, we do not listen to him. The Gemara answers that it's different here since Shmuel and his basin were still around. Rashi explains that since his statement could be verified, he would not speak falsely. Pointing to Rava expanded, "What's the meaning of that which is written? Bitachtu l'moserai, you have released my yoke straps." David said to Kodesh Baruch, "Ribono Shalom, Shnei Moser Shayu Alai, Pitachtem, the two straps were upon me, you have released, Rus HaMoavia and Nama HaAmonis." Nama was the wife of David's son Shlomo and the mother of his grandson Rehovam. Therefore, there were two yoke straps who were potentially harmful to the yichus of David's malchus, Rus from Moab and Naama from Ammon. Now that the halach has been resolved permitting female converts from these nations to marry into the kahal, Hashem released David from these yoke straps. Point number three, Ula said in Nibir Yochanan, Basger Ammoni Kesher Kohuna, the daughter of a male Ammoni ger is fit for the kahuna. The Gemara clarifies that the case is the daughter of a male Ammoni ger who illegally married the Israelis. Reish Lakish disagrees with Rabbi Yochanan and says she is pesula, unfit to marry a kohen. The Gemara explains that Reish Lakish holds that she's unfit, for he learns it from the case of a daughter from a kohen gadol and an almana. Thus she explains that just as the daughter conceived through the improper relations is a chalala and is unfit for the kohuna, so too the daughter conceived from the improper relations of the Ammoni ger to the Israelis is unfit for the kohuna. Rabbi Yochanan's position is learned from his response to Rabbi Zaka, who taught that only a daughter of converts from the same nation is permitted to marry kohen gadol. Rabbi Yochanan responded that he learned the following brisa regarding the pasuk ki im basul ma'amav yikach isha, only a basul of his nation shall he, referring to the kohen gadol, take as a wife. The Torah doesn't state amav, his nation, but me'amav, from his nation, implying partially from his nation, l'havi basul haba mishnei amamim, to include a basul that comes from two nations. The Gemara proves that according to Rabbi Yochanan, the pasuk is referring to a basul who is the daughter of a male Ammoni ger who married a Yisraelis and is teaching that she is fit for the kohuna. All right, so now we go to the Simmer Daf Ein Zayin, and our standard simmon is an A's, a goat. A goat. So here goes. The man whose sword was tied to his goat's back to be used against those who did not accept his halakhic tradition decided to use it to cut two Moavi and Ammoni yoke straps off the goat's neck and give the goat as a gift to the daughter of an Ammoni ger and a Yisraelis who was about to marry a Kohen. So once again, in slow motion. The man whose sword was tied to his goat's back. Goat? That must be Moran Daf. Ein Zayin, A's. The man whose sword was tied to his goat's back to be used against those who did not accept his halachic tradition, which reminds us, continuing the account of Doeg's challenges to David's yichus, the Gemara reconciles contradictory psukim where in one pasuk, Amasa, who was married to David's sister, is referred to as the son of Yisra HaYisraeli, and another pasuk, his father is referred to as Yeser HaYishmaeli. Rav explained that when Doeg wanted to disqualify David, Shechiger Harbo Ki Yishmael, that Yeser girded his sword like Yishmaeli and said, Kol mi she'enu shomei halacha zo yedaker becherev, whoever does not accept the halacha shall be impaled by the sword, for I have received a tradition from the base of Mishmol that the Torah prohibits Ammoni velo Ammonis, Moavi velo Moavis, and therefore David is permitted to marry into the Kahal. So the man whose sword was tied to his goat's back to be used against those who did not accept his halachic tradition decided to use it to cut two Moavi and Ammoni yoke straps off the goat's neck, which reminds us, Rav expanded, what's the meaning of that which is written, Patachtu Moserai, you have released my yoke straps. David said to Kodesh Baruch, Ribono Shalom, Shnei Moser Shehu Alai Pitachtem, the two straps were upon me, you have released, Rus HaMoaviah and Naama HaAmonis. Naama was the wife of David's son Shlomo and the mother of his grandson Rehovam. Therefore, there were two yoke straps who were potentially harmful to the yichus of David's malchus, Rus from Moab and Naama from Ammon. Now that the halach has been resolved permitting female converts from these nations to marry into the kahal, HaKadosh Baruch Hu released David from these yoke straps. So the man whose sword was tied to his goat's back to be used against those who did not accept his halachic tradition decided to use it to cut two Moavi and Ammoni yoke straps off the goat's neck and give the goat as a gift to the daughter of an Ammoni ger and a Yisraelis who was about to marry a Kohen. Which reminds us, we have the Malchus, Rabbi Yochanan Reish Lakish, whether the daughter of an Ammoni ger and a Yisraelis is fit for the kohuna. So once again, the man whose sword was tied to his goat's back to be used against those who did not accept his halachic tradition decided to use it to cut two Moavi and Ammoni yoke straps off the goat's neck and give the goat as a gift to the daughter of an Ammoni ger and a Yisraelis who was about to marry a Kohen. All right, now it's time for four blah blah chazora. Daf Ayin Gimel. So the Simmer Daf Ayin Gimel is a giant ostrich egg. So here goes. The Arl hiding out in a giant ostrich egg about to eat some Meiser Sheini, which reminds us, Rav Sheshes was asked, Arl Mahuba Meiser, what is the luck regarding an Arl eating Meiser Sheini? So the Arl hiding out in a giant ostrich egg about to eat some Meiser Sheini, where an Onain spray painted on the shell, Trumas Yadecho, equals Bikurim, which reminds us we have Malchukas whether an Arl is permitted to eat Bikurim. So the Arl hiding out in a giant ostrich egg about to eat some Meiser Sheini, where an Onain spray painted on the shell, Trumas Yadecho, equals Bikurim. Overheard a group of Tamei and Taur people eating a blemished Bechor together, tell a Taur person he cannot eat. Tamei, Maisa Sheni. Which reminds us, Rabbi Shimon asks what the source is that prohibits a Taur person from eating Tamei, Maisa Sheni. Dafayin Dalad. So the Simur Dafayin Dalad is a witness. So here goes. The expert witness. Witness? That must be more in Dafayin Dalad. Aid. The expert witness who is testifying that Maisa Rishon is prohibited to an Aral, just like it is to a Zar, which reminds us, the Gemara continues with attempts to answer the question whether an Aral may eat Maisa Sheni. It concludes that a Brisa that states that an Aral is prohibited to Maiser could be referring to Maisa Rishon, and it's following the opinion of Rabbi Meir, who holds Maisa Rishon asu Hazarim. Maisa Rishon is prohibited to non-Levim. Rashi explains that just as Rabbi Meir holds, that Maisa Rishon has an added level of Kedusha, in that it cannot be eaten by non-Levim, it is also prohibited to an Aral. Maisa Sheni, which is permitted even to non-Levim, would be permitted to an Aral as well. So, the expert witness who is testifying that Maisa Rishon is prohibited to an Aral, just like it is to a Zar, and was asked for the source that a Tamei may not eat Truma, which reminds us, the Mishnah Daf Ein Amun Aleph stated, V'kol Tamei mo yoch b'truma. All those who are Tamei may not eat Truma. The Gemara asked for the source for this halacha, and Rabbi Yochanan stated in the name of Rabbi Yishmael that the Pasuk states, Ish ish mezer Aaron v'hut saruo ozav b'kachi mo yocho. A man from the offspring of Aaron, who is a Metzora or a Zav, shall not eat from the Kachim until he becomes purified. Ezu davar sheshava b'zar shel Aaron. What holy food is universally fit for all the offspring of Aaron alike, both men and women? You must say this is Truma, and the Pasuk is prohibiting it to a Tamei. So, the expert witness who is testifying that Maisa Rishon is prohibited to an Aral, just like it is to a Zar, and was asked for the source that a Tamei may not eat Truma, fascinated the jury with the presentation about the three stages of becoming Taor, Ti Maisa Sheni, Truma, and Kadshim, which reminds the Gemara reconciles three contradictory psukim regarding purification, saying that the first pasuk is teaching that after Tevila, during the day, one becomes Taor to eat Maisa Sheni. The second pasuk is teaching that a Tevil Yom becomes permitted to eat Truma after nightfall. The third pasuk is teaching that one becomes Taor to eat Kachim after bringing the atonement offering. The Gemara addresses why eating Truma is considered more stringent than eating Maisa Sheni. Daf Ein Hei. So the Simur Daf Ein Hei is an Amma Aretz. So here goes. The Amma Aretz, that must be more in Daf Ein Hei. The Amma'arz who arrived at the hospital just after sunset, when Tami Kohanim, who had tobled earlier, were now eating their truma, which reminds us, the Gemara asks why three psukim are needed regarding the purification to eat truma, and answers that all three are required to teach that there must be a tefila, the person must wait until Arav Shemesh, until the sun sets, and that he can be a bar kapara and still eat after the sun sets, and doesn't need to wait until he brings a carbon. So the Amma'arz who arrived at the hospital just after sunset, when Tami Kohanim, who had tobled earlier, were now eating their truma, passed through the ward filled with different types of Betsui Daka, which reminds us, the Gemara lists what conditions qualify someone as a Betsui Daka. So the Amma'arz who arrived at the hospital just after sunset, when Tamei Kohanim, who had tobled earlier, were now eating their truma, passed through the ward filled with different types of Betsui Daka, and was so proud he brought a box of tissues for his friend, who was a Krushavcha, to help wipe the mucus spilling from his nose. Which reminds us, the Gemara asks, from where is it known that a kru shavcha, someone with a severed shavcha, refers to the male organ, and answers that the pasuk says kru shavcha, which indicates misha al yidei krisa shofech, that it refers to an organ that spills as a result of the severing, whereas prior to severing it was not spilling but was mekaleach, it was spouting. This excludes the nose, where both before and after the severing it spills its mucus. Ein Vav, so the Simur Daf Ein Vav is an IV tube, an intravenous tube. So here goes. The Betsua Daka Kohen who married the Gior's nurse, who always hooked up his IV, that must be Moran Daf Ein Vav, intravenous tube. The Betsua Daka Kohen who married the Gior's nurse, who always hooked up his IV, which reminds us, Rosh Hashanah was asked, Betsua Daka Kohen mahu b'Gior's Meshuchereres. Regarding a Betsua Daka Kohen, what is the law regarding marrying a Gior's or Meshuchereres? Do we say that he remains in his kahuna level of Kedusha and is forbidden to her, or does he not remain in that level and is permitted to her? He answered that if Betsua Daka Yisrael is permitted to marry a Nesina, then a Betsua Daka Kohen does not remain in his level of Kedusha and may marry a Gior's or a freed slave woman. So the Betsua Daka Kohen who married the Gior's nurse, who always hooked up his IV, hallucinated that he had a son named Peretz, dressed up in oversized battle armor. Which reminds us, when David went out to fight Goliath, Shaul wanted to know if David descended from Peretz or Zerach. If he descends from Peretz, he will be a king. Shalmelch Poretz lasos Zerach, for a king may break through Poretz, other people's fences, to make a path for himself, and no one can protest against him. If he descends from Zerah, chashiv ba'almahavi, he'll be merely chashiv. The reason Shaul asked about him is that Shaul saw that when he gave David his battle garments, they fit David, even though Shaul was taller than everyone. Since his garments fit David miraculously, Shaul asked if he was destined for Malchus. So the Batsua Daka Kohen who married the Gioris nurse, who always hooked up his IV, hallucinated that he had a son named Peretz, dressed up in oversized battle armor, who'd go out and greet travelers with bread and water. Which reminds us, the Gemara relates that Doaka Adomi said to Shaul before he asked whether David is fit for Malchus or not, ask whether he's fit to marry into the Kahal, because he comes from Rus, who was a Moabi. When Avner responded that it was taught Ammoni v'lo Ammonis, Moabi v'lo Moavis, the Torah only prohibits the males and not the females of Ammon and Moab, Doa countered that when the Pasuk says Mamzer, does it not refer to a Mamzeris as well? And the Pasuk says Mitzri, does it not also refer to a Mitzris? Avner responded that it is different in the case of an Ammoni and Moabi, since the Torah explicitly said the reason is because they did not greet you with bread and water on the road when you were leaving Mitzrayim. It's the way for men to greet travelers with bread and water, but not for women to do so. Doeg continues to challenge Avner, and on the next daf, the issue is resolved. All right, so that concludes today's shir. This is Rabbi Avram Goldin Zichu wishing you a great day and great learning.